David, I don't know if you know this or not, but Tim Tebow is from Jacksonville. You may or may not be aware of that.
Really?
Right. You also may be aware that he's a free agent. Have you given any thought to signing him?
We have not. You know, we're really just focusing on the 90 players that we have under contract here and trying to get better here, you know, day by day, and that's our sole focus right now.
This is Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Luggeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening. You know, I told a Jaguars fan 3 months ago who was lamenting the Tim Tebow story. I said, just get used to it. It will be with us until he moves on in his life's work, until he's, you know, a missionary somewhere around the world. And then years from now, people will still lament the fact that he was never signed in Jacksonville.
Are you talking about Tebow?
Yeah, right.
Which is
But you know, I didn't expect, I'm sorry, Tony, I got out of your way. I didn't expect the story to take this turn.
It's natural because, I mean, Jim Rome, obviously it's a story because of Tim is a free agent. Anybody can sign with us. So Jim Rome has David Caldwell on. And that's the first thing. And then it happened to me yesterday as well. I get an email, and it's Rob Dibble and Amy Van Dyken, I guess, a former Olympic medalist.
Yep.
They want me to come on, and they want to talk about, I was told from the producer, about the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, of course, right when the conversation started, it was all about Tim Tebow, and is there a possibility that he could play for the Jaguars?
The answer is no. And can we go back to recent history where he had a chance to sign with this team, and he chose not to? Do we forget that? I mean, honestly. And what about this?
Well, obviously the guy in Orlando didn't think so. You can decide whether you want to give him more free publicity. It was a smart business move on his part because, man, his name, it was already all over the place.
I don't know if he's a good attorney or not, but he's a brilliant PR guy.
He's a smart business guy.
Well, he's getting his name out there, but on Twitter, all the Jags fans are saying boycott his law
firm. His firm.
And it's idiotic. I mean, I get it's a PR move, but
it was great.
Guess what? But if he really cares,
I think it's more than a PR move.
But if he really cares about Tim Tebow, what he's doing is the very reason no teams are going to sign him.
That's right.
You know, and
because he becomes a distraction, and it becomes all about Tim Tebow and not about the team or the organization, and so it's a complete disservice to Tim Tebow. So, whatever reason he's doing it, it's completely selfish and self-serving because he's actually hurting the guy he thinks he's trying to help.
And the reason for that, Tony, is it's the stage of development he's at. It's going to cause him not to get a shot to be on a team and have a chance to develop and grow. If he was a great quarterback, then somebody would sign him and deal with the distraction. He's still a quarterback that maybe has a chance to develop, but it's going to be hard to get that chance because you bring him in as a backup, and then you're dealing with this.
It's never good when your popularity exceeds your productivity.
Don't I know it?
And that's where he's at.
I mean, absolutely.
I really believe that if his name were, you know, John Smith or John Doe, he would have an opportunity to play for an NFL team right now. But teams don't feel like the player's good enough to go ahead and take everything else that kind of comes along with it.
It becomes a distraction. It disrupts the locker room. It becomes the only story everyone talks about instead of what you're trying to do as a team. And the national media and everyone else and all the people, this book's closed. I mean, Dave Caldwell has been clear as the day is long that it is not happening. Now, unless he wakes up and changes his mind or Shad Khan tells him to do it or whatever, it's not happening. And so let's move on.
It's kind of along the lines of what – and it's a little different, obviously, but with Chris Cluey in Minnesota. If Chris Cluey wasn't an outspoken – and I'm not talking about what he has said specifically about supporting gay marriage or gay rights.
Right.
But because he's outspoken and because he's a good player but not a great player, he becomes a distraction.
He's a punter.
So, you know – NFL teams, they don't want to have – it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest team sport that there is. And anything that can be viewed as a distraction from management or coaching, they don't want it.
You better be really, really, really good if you're going to be a distraction.
I would just encourage people to read Greg Doyle's column on CBSSportsLine.com because Doyle was a guy who was entertained by Tebow. He wasn't a Tebow supporter. He wasn't a detractor.
Zealot?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't cult, zealot, whatever you want to say, if you want people to call. But what he was a guy that said, hey, you know, let's just see what he becomes. It's kind of entertaining, you know, what he did in 2011 going 7-4. And today he has a column that speaks to your point, and that is the fans have finally run him out of the NFL.
Yeah, they've
finally
ruined it.
Done it.
And I feel bad for Tim because I think I don't want to say he deserves a shot because none of us deserve it. But he has the talent and the ability, like John said, where a team would view him as a project and bring him in.
To do something.
And to see if he could develop to be a part of their team. But because of his fans, so all you people listening that are part of this Tebow cult following, whatever you want to call it, you are the reason and the distraction you bring and the fervor that you cause in the media to glom on, you are doing Tim Tebow a disservice. Because otherwise he'd have an opportunity. I'm not saying here, but somewhere.
Well, I will say this. I would think that now, after the YouTube spot and all of this, now perhaps the fervor will die and they can go on because, I mean, this is about as much pressure as you can put in an organization.
There's no pressure. Well,
but that's the thing, Brian.
But I'm saying what they can try to put.
The guy says he's going to buy a box.
Right.
Okay, great.
No.
Sure, sure.
But he got all the national media, got all the national attention about it, and they're still saying
no. You know, my response is?
So now let it go.
If the argument is he'll sell. I mean, I got it today. Even if they're 0-16, he'll sell tickets and he'll be the number one jersey sales. If that's the case, tell the Dolphins or the Bucks to sign him because they have bigger attendance issues than we do. We have more people that come to our games. Tell the Bucks to go. Why aren't the Bucks clamoring to get him or the Dolphins? If it's this windfall of season ticket holders and money and jersey sales and all this nonsense that I don't think. What sells tickets, what builds the value of a franchise is one thing and one thing only. It's called winning. Win, and you build the value.
You ever see
not doing gimmicks and circus acts
the Tebow
to try to bring attention.
We'll tell you, and you can't tell many people otherwise, that Tim Tebow is a winner, and he will help
you win.
He
is a winner. I'm not arguing that whether he's a winner or loser, he's a great – I enjoy Tim. I love what he stands for. I love his competitive fire. But no one can argue that he is at this point in his career is at a development stage like John said. And when you are a player who are in a development stage – and by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of guys who became great players were in development stages in their career. But when you become a distraction or the people that – follow you or cause a stir or a distraction, it's a problem. I heard, I don't know which GM said it, but they said, I don't know if it was a past GM, I want to say Bill Polian, but I don't want to attribute to this because in case I'm wrong, but basically said if Tim would come out and denounce saying I'm here to play football and it's not to be the starting quarterback, I'm just here to play.
It was Polian.
And I don't want to hear any more nonsense. Then I could see a team possibly saying, okay, we'll take a chance.
He's never done that.
Yeah. He has not done
so
that.
So he hadn't helped himself out in that aspect.
In that capacity, he has hurt himself. And I don't know him, so I don't know what the motivation behind that is. He does obviously fervently believe that he's a starting level quarterback. That's probably –
there's a
that
term
belief
for that.
In himself is probably why he's been as successful as he has.
No. Trying to think of the term, a quiet – I'll think of it.
Whatever it is, the bottom line is the problem is there's 32 teams in the NFL and they don't think you're a starting quarterback right now. So it doesn't matter. I mean, I think I could play.
Let me ask you guys this.
I think I could play left tackle right now, and I don't see anyone signing up to, you know, because I can't. I actually don't believe that. But my point is, just because you believe it,
neither did we.
Doesn't make it reality.
I got a question
this
week.
It's what 32 guys believe.
Is it fair that he hasn't had a chance? And Tony, your answer would be what?
Number one, life's not fair.
Right.
This is a job. You know, last time I checked, this is professional football at the highest level, and we're not handing out, you know, orange slices and trophies at the end for everyone just to get a chance to participate.
I like the orange slices.
I like orange slices, too. I mean, listen, the bottom line is, and I go back, when it comes to this franchise, he had a chance to come here a year and a half ago, or a year ago now.
Mistake.
It was 1 year ago. The Jaguars tried to trade for him.
What? What?
Like, it was left to the Broncos. I mean, Broncos, according to John Elway, they left it in Tim's hands. It was basically a similar offer. And Tim decided to go to New York. And God bless him. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. But that's not our problem. We're moving on. We're going to the next stage.
Trying to imagine the circus. If it was that way in New York, what would have been here?
Well, it wouldn't have been what it was in New York because, I mean, New York is New York.
Yeah, but this is his hometown.
Doesn't matter.
The media
trust me, ESPN would have not have had trucks parked outside of the training camp here in Jacksonville last year.
Been too far of a drive.
Ain't no way. New York is totally different, and they had kind of a mini circus already going on with Rex Ryan, Santonio Holmes, and Darrelle Revis, and Mark Sanchez, as it was. New York is totally unique. But he had a great opportunity, and obviously he got a lot of endorsement money to make that decision to go to New York, but now he's looking at not only losing a paycheck as an NFL player, but he's looking at losing money and endorsement opportunities as well.
Well, I think he's doing just fine in that area.
He may lose some, though. I mean, hey, the fact of the matter is you got to play to get your name on a billboard.
Yeah, but
that underwear doesn't look good on somebody who's going around preaching. I'm sorry, doesn't sell.
Well, that's fine, but trust me, I'll bet you a nickel that there's plenty of people lined up to pay for him to come speak. Listen.
Yeah, but jockey's not going to want to, not going to pay
not
him a bunch of money.
I agree with the endorsement, but Tim Tebow's going to be just fine. I mean, he'll be just fine. He's okay. And if we want to talk about equitable situations and fairness, let's have a little dose of reality. I mean, let's not cry in our soup for anybody. He's doing just fine. And I hope he gets an opportunity. And listen, I go back to if you feel like you are a starting quarterback and you're not getting, quote unquote, a fair shake in the NFL from the 32 GMs, there's a league up north that several.
Oh, did you see Warren Moon's comments on
well,
that?
Well, that's Warren Moon's opinion. Saying,
well, it's three downs and the field is longer
fine.
And they throw the ball
My
more
point
often.
Is, I guarantee you somebody up in Canada would give him a chance to come
Montreal said you can come compete for the backup spot.
That was kind of rough.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, it's not like all the Canadian teams are throwing their hands in the air.
How many teams are there?
Well,
in
Montreal.
Canada?
The problem is no other.
Eight, ten?
Yeah, something like that.
No one else, because Montreal owns his rights.
That's what I mean.
I think their hands are tied a little
bit.
Well,
yeah. Else. But it's not like they were saying we can't wait to get him up here. Wasn't well, you know? Hey, come compete. We want you. You can come compete to be the backup. It is what it is. The question is, as we go to break, will the story subside from here?
Well, it will on this show.
Amen. Joe.
All right, here we go. Parents, now's the time to sign your children up for the Jaguars Kids Club. It does have its advantages, you know. Members get a Jags Kids Club kit, which includes a welcome letter, membership card, certificate, t-shirt, invites to exclusive events, birthday card from Jackson DeVille, and a whole bunch more. For more info, just visit jaguarskidsclub.com. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Fanatics.com. Want to talk to the guys? Real easy to do. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Out of town, throw an 800 in front of that. And I tell you what, these guys are just so happening that WOKV had to go get a flamethrower just to try to contain him. Brian Sexton.
100,000 watts, brand new, 104.5. Switch your dial now, whether you're listening in Nassau County or St. John's or Clay. Probably doesn't go quite as far as London, but Union Jacks are listening.
Yeah, the UK fans had a good trip to London. I guess that was 2 weeks ago now. Time flies.
Yeah,
it goes fast.
Draft.
Union Jacks, we have a great fan club over there. Saw a bunch of those guys and gals, and they're listening in to Jaguars This Week.
All right, 104.5, new frequency, new power, folks. Join us by changing your button to 104.5 on the FM dial. By the way, nine teams in
the Great North, Canada.
In the Great North, Canada, and their season begins on a Wednesday, June 12th, and Toronto plays Winnipeg.
Yeah,
just in case you're wondering.
Got to start early. It gets kind of cold quick up there.
Yeah, well, so if he's going to head that way, he better head that way quick. 355-NFL1.
Yeah, then honestly, that I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but I think that's would be a great option for him. I mean, if he truly wants to play the quarterback position, I said it a couple months ago. I mean, Doug Flutie had to do it. Warren Moon has had to do it. Jeff Garcia has had to do it. I mean, this is not, territory that
Joe Theismann
is new. I mean, yeah, Joe Theismann. I mean, and those guys came back and had great NFL careers.
But did they go up as projects? Like this?
Well, yeah. I mean, many of the NFL teams viewed him as projects. Otherwise, sure. They would have been given an opportunity.
Yeah, Flutie for sure. But I mean, even Warren Moon was coming out of Washington, was a prolific passer.
Yeah, but he was considered too short. I mean, there were a lot of things back then. But he went up there and I think won 5 Grey Cups and came back.
Well,
so
he was really good.
I don't even know. I'm not even sure if Tim wants that to be an option. It's hard to know because he really doesn't talk about it. So it's a lot of speculation about what he wants to do.
Well, he just got to decide if he wants to play football. If he wants to be a quarterback, I think that's probably the best route. Or if he just wants to play football, just come out and say, I think he could put the whole thing to bed and probably get some interest from NFL teams.
All right, rookie minicamp over the weekend. And then, of course, the Jaguars went and signed Marcus Trufant yesterday. Young secondary,
like
very young secondary.
Really like it. I really like it. And the reason I say that is that you're looking at, what is it, 3 corners that were drafted and 2 safeties. And I don't care what position group it is, but you've got to have more than just a coach being able to work with young players, especially when you're talking that kind of volume of 5 guys. And Marcus Trufant has been a really pro's pro his entire career. He's familiar with Gus Bradley and the system. It will be a great situation for him to not only compete but mentor some of these young players. And to me, man, this is that's what you want to do. You know, if you're a new coach and you're trying to establish a new program, what you'd like to have in a perfect situation is one guy almost in each room that can share your message and agree with the message that you're trying to give to the team.
Because if players are hearing it from a coach and a player, isn't that double the that's the message? That's
double the
impact.
Value.
Well, it helps. It helps a very young room get some little gray in the head, little wisdom.
If it's the right guy, if talking to Marcus yesterday, it seems like he is.
Yeah, he's the right guy. Gus wouldn't bring him. Gus has been with him a few years. He knows what he's getting. He knows, like Jeff said, the system, and he can be a voice in the ears of these young guys and help them, teach them what they see, what they should be looking for, what they can expect. And then through rough practice, I think the greatest value of a guy like that is when things go sideways a little bit, when it's tough. I mean, this is the young ball club. When they lose, if you go through a rough time, you know, having a positive voice that can echo the message of the head coach is a huge value.
It's going to be interesting for him just personally because he's never been out of the state of Washington.
It's a long way away.
Yeah, long, long way to come. You know, so but I mean, it's a good signing. I did watch. I was out of town last week, but I did watch some tape of the young corners from minicamp, and I watched that today. And certainly, the one thing that really stood out to me was just the size and the length of the positional players that they drafted. You know, they are big corners.
Well, the safety is. I thought the most impressive guy was
Cyprian.
Cyprian.
Yeah, no
safety.
Doubt. No doubt.
Boy,
no.
He looks the part. I know we have no pads on. He's fast, he gets there quick. He's
great awareness.
He's around the ball all the time.
Practices very hard.
Very hard. I thought the tempo was outstanding for a rookie minicamp. Denard Robinson looks explosive. Looks like a guy who can change the tempo and the pace of the game. I think Luke Joeckel was all he was advertised to be. I mean, it's hard to tell offensive line when you have no pads on, and it's not even like the old days where it was no pads but pretty much full speed. I mean, now it's really no pads and, you know, kind of patty cake a little bit. And you have to be careful, and the coaches have to be very careful. Otherwise, the league comes down on top of them. And
but you know what's funny about
they lose
watching?
Practice days.
It's kind of funny to watch because, I mean, you know, obviously Luke Joeckel is above the rest of the talent
Absolutely.
Grade on the field. But when you really focus in and watch him, you kind of watch how the other players that are practicing play against him. You know, because they know that this is the first round.
Oh, yeah, they go
pick.
Harder.
They go harder.
Trust me.
I mean, clearly.
I remember.
They go harder because they're trying to make an impression. A lot of these tryout rookies trying to make an impression. But watching Luke Joeckel, you could tell that wasn't completely comfortable with his sets and stuff. But, boy,
he looked good. He's athletic.
He is fluid. He's athletic. He's got very good hands. It's going to be fun to watch him.
Well, he better just get used to it because, listen, you're the first pick, second pick overall. Everyone's going to be gunning for him, you know, in training camp. And then when you get the regular season, guys are going to go after you. And if you become a good player, a Pro Bowl, all-pro player, every guy who lines up against you wants to make a name for himself. So it's a good start. It's good. Hopefully he becomes that player. I mean, that's why we drafted him, that he becomes a Pro Bowl, all-pro type of player. And hopefully he'll have to be dealing with that logs for the rest of his career, where guys get up for him and try to make a name.
It'll wear off in a little while.
Time for news, Joe.
All right, Brian. Ladies, for the first time, the Jaguars have created a club dedicated to the experience of the female fan. That's women aged 18 and older, the Jaguars Women's Club. This unique program is designed to connect with, provide exclusive experiences for, and engage the Jags' female fans through updates, special offers, events, and other benefits. Need more info? Go to jaguars.com/womensclub. The award-winning WOKV Newsroom is next. They'll keep you up to date. And more Jaguars This Week here on Jaguars Radio. All right, Stephanie. Hey, season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. Need more info? Real easy. Call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com. The Metro PCS call-in lines are open and filling up. 355-NFL1.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. To the phone lines, 355-NFL1, and we go to Jack. He's waited through the commercial break. We appreciate that, Jack. Over in Cedar Hills, welcome to the program.
Hey, how y'all doing? I wanted to make the point that you had Tebow up there with Denver, and he was a rookie quarterback. He took a losing team. They went to the playoffs.
So. No, just Jack, just before I'm going to cut you off and let you keep going. It was actually his second year. He took his rookie year, he sat on the bench most of the year, played the last three games. And then his second year, he did. You're right. Second year, he came in. Okay. Yes.
But the point I wanted to get to, it seems like to me with Tebow, it's just like politics. It doesn't matter what your argument is, the other side can never be convinced. But I wanted to make that point, and I also wanted to ask y'all if y'all read this guy, Carline, Hayes Carline. He's got a Associated Press in the news in the sports section every day, and he talks about comparing Tebow's statistics with Roethlisberger, Tebow, Manning, Drew Brees, and Alex Smith, and he's exactly equal to their stats or a little better. That's
well, he kind of cherry picked some numbers with that article, but you know the one stat that you really got to look at is completion percentage, which is sub 50%. Whereas if you compare it to all those other quarterbacks, it's not even close.
Well, I knew he cherry picked the stats, but it's still pretty impressive. But to me, going back to his time in Denver, you know it's pretty rare for and I'll call him a rookie quarterback, even though he might have had a few snaps.
Even though he wasn't.
Yeah, well, you know, how many snaps did he have the first season?
It doesn't matter. He started three games. He wasn't a rookie.
Well, that's pretty close, three games.
Not really. It's his second year. Usually that's a second-year quarterback. That's what he was. And listen, he did a great job. He was 7-4 and started. But
he didn't do it all alone.
But you forget – I mean, everyone forgets their defense played great.
Running game was outstanding.
Great running game. Their field goal kicker, was it Prater back then? Or I don't know who it was. Kicked like three game winners. They recovered onside kicks. They had fumbles at the end of the game. I mean, listen.
But that was the same team.
No, he gave a great emotional lift. I'm not going to say that. But you can't –
There you go.
But that's but the reality is – there's nobody who feels like that in the NFL right now that is a sustainable situation. That's not sustainable over the long haul.
I know, but here, look, he hasn't really had a chance to develop. It might be that the kind of leadership he shows, it might be just like it was with Florida.
Sir,
it might be that he could take any team.
Sir, with all due respect, to say he did not have a chance is absolutely ridiculous. He had 2 years in Denver. He started 11 games 1 year. He started three the other year. And with the Jets, they had him for a whole year. They were so bad, they went to their third-string quarterback. If they thought he could help them win, trust me, Mike Tannenbaum, the GM, got fired. People got fired.
A lot of them.
And people who are fighting for million-dollar jobs, which those guys had, will play anybody. They'll play –
They'd play John Osher.
They would play. They let the
Johnny could help them win.
They let the ozone on the field. So
GMs and head coaches want one thing done:
winning.
They want to not get fired. They don't care if the guy's green, brown, whatever.
No.
If they remotely believed, even a sliver believed that he could help them win, they would play him. They would start him. And they would be happy as larks. But there are 32 teams.
No, listen.
The Jaguars are not alone in their belief.
Well, you said a great thing. GMs don't care, and I don't want to get into this topic today. Everyone goes, well, would the NFL accept a gay player?
Wouldn't matter
if he's good.
I don't care.
Yeah. Gay, straight. I mean, you know, white, black.
But it is germane to the argument because it does not.
If they can
all
win,
all players care about. All coaches play.
They want to win.
And you guys used to tell me all the time when I was a reporter. None of the other stuff matters. If the guy can play, let him play.
If you could put Tim Tebow in with one team right now that you felt it was a perfect place for him to be, where would it be? My personal opinion is New England. I mean, that's the situation I think would be good. He's got Josh McDaniels there, a guy that obviously believed in him when he drafted him when he was with Denver. Nobody's going to be saying play Tim Tebow over Tom Brady. Those people in Boston, they don't give a poo about Tim Tebow. They care about winning with Tom Brady. I think that would be a great situation for him.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Wherever.
I mean, I wish him the best. I hope it works out.
John just put out that whole thing.
Woodrow is in Springfield. Hello, Woodrow.
Hey, guys. Just want to point out a little thing. Number one, he really didn't get a break. I mean, plus when he was with Denver, how many games did he play and how many times did he make yardage? And in New York, the one game that they actually seriously let him play, he made yardage and they pulled him out.
Okay, let me just say the same thing to you we just said the last time. If Tannenbaum and Rex Ryan thought Tim Tebow would have helped them win, Rex Ryan almost got fired. Mike Tannenbaum did get fired. If they thought he was the answer that would have helped them win, let me ask you a question. If you were getting paid $1 million a year to win football games and you thought a player could help you win football games and keep your job, would you play him?
Not if he made the rest of the team.
Well, you're asking.
Yes or no?
No, you're asking me a question. Sir, I'm paying you $1 million a year. That's a lot of money. Maybe you make that kind of money, but that's a lot of money. $1 million a year. And all your job is to put the best players on the field that help you win. Would you play the guy to help you win ball games or to get fired? What would you do?
I put the guy on.
Okay. Well, Mike Tannenbaum got fired. He obviously, if he thought that it would have saved his job and helped them win football games, he would have played.
Appreciate it. 355.
That's one thing about Tim, is that his supporters.
Right.
Jack made
that point.
I mean, you just can't reason.
Jack got a great point.
Sometimes you just can't reason with some of them.
Yep.
Because if he didn't get a chance or whatever.
That's why I just like asking them questions. What would you do?
Yeah. Well, Jack's point was, it's like politics. You're not going to convince the other side.
Right. No.
He's absolutely right. Absolutely. Let's go to Mandarin. Carrie's standing by. Hello, Carrie.
I think the reason that most people are so passionate about Tebow, and especially here in Jacksonville, is because they're looking for the character that he portrays. And I think it's been so long since we've had that franchise player here in Jacksonville, like the Mark Brunells and the Tony Baselli's of the Jaguars.
I just want to say this, and I appreciate you lumping me on that conversation, but I got to disagree in the sense of there's a lot of great guys on this team with great character, and if you look at the amount of money and time that is spent in the community by these players that they get no credit for, that's a very unfair statement to say about this current Jaguars. Now, the reason they don't get the attention that maybe I did or Mark or guys that played with us is because we won. And so guess what? When we won and we were new and it was a new franchise, but because we won, you all liked us a lot more. I promise you. If we would have
– And the cameras were there more often.
Yeah, because we won. I promise you. If we had gone through the same losing streak that this franchise has over the last decade, basically except for very – here.
05, 07.
Yeah, in 05 was – 07 was really the one successful year. If we had played like that, you wouldn't be saying how great a people we are and how much you love us. Now, I appreciate you saying that, and I like being liked, and I appreciate everyone saying thank you for the good work we've done. But at the end of the day, the the reason people loved that Jaguar team of that time is because we had a lot of really good players and we won a lot of football games.
And it was the first.
That, you know. And it's the way it is. So I appreciate you. But I just think that's – I want to make sure everyone listening understands that's unfair to the guys who are on this team now because they do a lot.
All right, let's grab a break and come back and wrap up the show. Joe.
All right, Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguar Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. And you'll earn points every time you post something Jaguars and use those points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets to the Jaguars game in London. Jaguars This Week will return right after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Hey, are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. You'll get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com.
All right, hopefully you're listening on the brand new 100,000-watt home of Jaguars football, News Talk WOKV. No matter where you're listening, set your button for 104.5 on the FM dial for the clearest, most powerful signal in Northeast Florida. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, John Osher, and we grab Josh next. Again, you could join us on the Metro PCS call-in line at 355-NFL1. Josh, the floor is yours.
All right, I know this is kind of a funny comment, but, I mean, as a lifelong Florida State fan, I feel like I have an unbiased approach to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just said that you're not unbiased. Big guy.
You'd be kicked off the jury if it was a trial.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not tainted. I would say, I mean, Tim Tebow's a great guy. He'd be a perfect neighbor. He'd probably be a perfect coach for my kid. You know, and I'd like to meet him. You know, seems like a nice guy. But when it comes down to it, I think this just shows how irrational Florida Gator fans are. And maybe we can develop some sort of support group for them or something for them just to kind of talk it out. And maybe they just need to get used to losing. That's all I got.
Wow. Thanks, Josh.
So now we've become a forum for them to take shots at each other. We need to be done with this.
We got to get James.
Yeah, got James coming. Come on. We got to finish it
all the way from Kentucky. Okay.
Yeah, I know. He was active on Twitter earlier today talking about this, too. James, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, I'm going to try to make it short and sweet. We burnt the whole show on it, but the reason I'm against it, nothing against Tebow, is just that it seems to bring negative attention to Jacksonville because – you know, you notice, like you guys already said, 32 teams, and no one's taking a shot on them. But yet, Jackson was getting drilled for not taking them. And then not only that, people say he hasn't gotten a chance. But, you know, he started how many games in Denver? 7, 8, 9, 10. He got traded as soon as Elway took over, who's, you know, he's a great quarterback of his time. So you'd think he would know, quarterbacks. He got traded.
He knows a little bit about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll say this too. You know, I don't know that they're getting drilled by people who know. I mean, I've heard a lot of really positive comments from people about the Jaguars' ability to stonewall, you know, the outside forces putting pressure on them to do this. I don't think the publicity is that bad.
I don't even think it's that much pressure. Pressure?
Pressure might be the wrong word, but you get it. There's a groundswell out there.
There's noise.
There's noise.
And they've shut it off. So, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, hey, at least the Jaguars aren't going for that quick fix. You know, sell 27 tickets and go.
27 and a box.
Yeah, right. One box.
And a very important box.
Yeah. All right, Josh, we appreciate it.
I wonder if we get free legal counsel, too. I don't think I want it.
Let's just be done with it, no matter what. Hey, Joe, if a story comes out next week, don't build it in the open. We're done with it. There's really people want to talk about Gabbert. People want to talk about the quarterback, you know, battle that we've got here.
I will say this: I agree with Jaguars owner Shad Khan. He made the comment in an interview at the career symposium mm-hmm. that they had, and that he's intrigued by this whole situation with Tim Tebow. And it is. I mean, it's very interesting.
My goodness, these. And I want to be respectful, but it's crazy to me. These crazy people have got a petition at the White House for Obama, our president, to call Dave Caldwell. Like, so the president is, well, I mean, he sends a lot of tweets out there. So maybe you should tweet Dave Caldwell and try to, I mean, it's, is it asinine or is it just me? I mean, this is, This is nonsense.
That's a good word, Tony.
Asinine?
Yes.
Is he allowed to say that, Joe?
He is.
Asinine's a clean word.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope he's allowed to. He said it three times.
Yeah, asinine.
Say one more time.
It's asinine.
Just don't say booger on the air.
Oh. I mean, that's completely asinine.
Yeah, all right. You know, what's really amazing is that you never hear Steelers fans lament the fact that in 1983, their Steelers didn't take the hometown Dan Marino, who went on to be one of the greatest passers to ever play the game, and you don't hear people complaining about that.
Well, there's a lot of teams that regret that.
Yeah, right. But you don't hear people going, how many more would the Steelers have won in the 80s if they had taken Dan Marino? You just don't hear it.
Well, would they have changed their identity? I mean, would Dan Marino be Dan Marino that we know him going to Pittsburgh, which was a play defense, run the ball type of football team with Chuck Knoll?
But they had thrown
maybe
the ball.
He would not have been.
They had thrown the ball more the last couple of years of their Super Bowl.
I can guarantee you one thing: the team that I went to, we would have been a lot better off having Dan Marino instead of Ken O'Brien.
Ken O'Brien,
right?
That would have been safe to say
because that draft you had
Elway.
Yep, Elway, Marino,
Kelly.
Ken O'Brien, and then Tony.
And Todd Blackledge was in there too.
Tony Eason, Kelly, New England.
Wasn't Chip Kelly in there?
Kelly was in there. Todd Blackledge was a top 10 pick coming out of Penn State.
Right.
Of course, you know, he didn't pan out at all. But
he's good on ESPN, though.
But it was a huge – yeah, he is. But it was a huge draft. I mean, it's the hallmark draft for quarterbacks.
But
and Dan Marino was a hometown hero at Pittsburgh Central Catholic.
For many players.
But it's
it's one of the best drafts in the history
of the
game.
It's a perfect example, though, of quarterbacks and when you draft a quarterback in the first round because it was about 50-50 then. Mm-hmm. And it's been about 50-50 since that point also with that position. Because Ken O'Brien didn't work out. Tony Eason, I mean, John Hancock's told basically everybody that he just needs to wear a skirt to play the position.
He led them to the Super Bowl.
He was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Ken O'Brien was actually
Did you see him play in the Super Bowl, though?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was against that Bears defense. It was
terrible.
He went great.
Ken O'Brien's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. He had a decent career.
He had a good, solid career. Way better than Brownie Nagel, who they tried to replace Ken O'Brien with Brownie Nagel. But
we got a little Jets history on
wasn't Dan Marino.
Jaguars this week. Well, Jets history. Tune in.
All right. So
have we touched on Tebow yet? Is that okay?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Do you know, by the way, the first thing when I saw that thing come up, I go, oh, my God, now we're going to have to waste a whole show on that.
Well, we didn't waste the whole show. We talked a little bit about the mini camp.
I thought the mini camp was great. I was there. I was wet. 2 days of rain.
It was disappointing, though, that one thing about that mini camp is that
it was pouring.
With the quarterbacks having been hurt and then the rain, it made it hard to evaluate some of the passing game players, you know, the wide receivers and the corners.
And I know, Jeff, you were out, but it was a downpour and it was nasty. And I give Gus Bradley and his staff a ton of credit because you would not have known that it was awful weather. Not just they kept going. The same energy was out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would not have.
Did the speakers still play music?
Oh, yeah. Yes. We were rocking, baby. It was wet. It was ruined shoes.
A couple names that stood out at the minicamp. I'll give you one just real quick.
Yeah.
Linebacker, Leroy Reynolds, Virginia guy. They had to throw that out there.
No, that's just
you got one, Brian. You got one. The wide receiver?
Yeah, I think everybody saw Tobias Palmer.
Sure. Yep.
He made lots of great catches.
He can fly.
Yeah, but he caught the ball in traffic for not a big guy.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
Nice.
He's fast.
All right, that'll do it for our show. No Tebow next week, we promise.
Bye.